Welcome to Theatre Voice. I'm Suman Butcher and I'm talking to Deborah Ann Bird, actor, writer, producer, artistic director of a theatre company, Take Wing and Soar Productions, based in New York. Welcome to Theatre Voice, Deborah Ann.
Thank you so much for having me, indeed.
Well, you've been here in the UK talking on race, diversity and Shakespeare at the University of Warwick. But you're about to present an inaugural Harlem Shakespeare Festival in New York. Tell us a little bit about that.
We have planned a festival in Harlem called the Harlem Shakespeare Festival. And we are going to, it is the inaugural, of course, and we are going to have several shows. There's one outdoor show, Antony and Cleopatra. We'll have an indoor show in November, Coriolanus, the African Warrior. We're going to show some films that are curated by Tony Howard, the Shakespeare on Film. We have a program called Shakespeare for Kids, and the kids will learn Shakespeare and create their own songs and dances and perform outdoors at Harlem Week. In addition, we will also have a stage reading of an August Wilson play. And we close the festival with a stage reading of an all-female Othello.
And I hear that you'll be playing the title role, is that right?
It is right. It's really like, wow! I mean, for real, really. Yes, I'll be playing Othello, and Lisa Volpe of the Los Angeles Women's Shakespeare, she'll be playing Iago. And we'll fill out the cast in November at a workshop, and then the stage reading is in December, indeed.
Okay. So, as I said, that you've been in the UK talking on race, diversity and mm-hmm. Shakespeare. I mean, tell us a little bit about your own artistic journey. How mm-hmm. did you get involved in the arts? Mm-hmm. How did you get to love Shakespeare and perform his plays?
Absolutely. I started acting by chance. I was at church and someone dropped out of one of the Black History Month plays and they asked me to fill in for Harriet Tubman. And I said, no, thank you. But then I said, okay, I'll do it. I performed the Harriet Tubman monologue. And one of the minister's wives told me that perhaps you should try your hand at acting. It was pretty good. And I don't want to do that. But then because I was on my way to becoming a reverend of some kind. Then my best friend told me that there was an acting class that I perhaps should take, and it was being run by a woman called Evangelist Mamie Perfit. And I said, well, if it's an evangelist, then I feel safe. So I went on and studied with her, and in 3 months she asked me to play the lead role in her stage play that she had written. And next thing you know, I was an actor person, and that was about 1989. By 1996, I was continued acting from 89 to 96. I saw a troupe of Black actors doing Shakespeare in Harlem. And I said, wow, that's interesting. I'd like to try that. And then I went on about my life. And then life got really rough for a moment in there. And when I reevaluated everything, I realized that I really did want to learn Shakespeare. So I needed to go to college. And I went to college. And I spent my 4 years, and then my final year is when you got to learn Shakespeare after your 3 years of training. Then I was cast as Lady Bracknell in The Importance of Being Earnest on the main stage at college. And there were several people who didn't like the idea that I was a Black actor playing Lady Bracknell, and the entire cast was white. And folks let me know it. It was a very painful time, and I thought that I don't like this theater thing anymore, and so I almost quit. And I went to my Shakespeare professor and I told her that I didn't like this anymore and that I would change and switch. And she said, no, Deborah Ann, you must go back to class and wipe your face and pull your boots up and go back to class. And I did just that. I did go back to class. I did perform on The Importance of Being Earnest, although one of the actors wouldn't really act with me. And my showcase professor, not the professor who did Ernest, but another professor, let me know that perhaps because you're an artist of color, that your career, you may not have that wonderful career in the classics if you continue on this journey. And that made me have to figure out what I was going to do. And I decided that with what I was feeling, And what other students came to me about what they were feeling, other artists of color. There was a young Chinese girl and a Hispanic girl and another black guy. They all was wondering, what is this thing? Why do we get BFAs, Bachelor of Fine Arts degrees, and a Master of Fine Arts degrees, and then there's no opportunities? And so I said, okay, I'm going to start a theater company where classically trained actors of color get opportunities to perform whatever classics they want to perform and rise to whatever level they want to rise to, as long as they have the talent to do so. And we did that.
So you set up your theater company, mm-hmm. Take Wing and Soul Productions.
Yes. Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. That was 2003. And now it's what, 2013. That means we're 10 years old now.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's been a wonderful and challenging and difficult and fun and happy journey indeed. And so this year we decided, well, let's shift things around a little bit, around resources and time and cash flow and people and staff, and let's create the Harlem Shakespeare Festival and move all the artistic things together and push to the side those things, that all the administrative things, so that they're not intertwining so much, so that things can get done efficiently. And it seems to be working out really nicely. Indeed.
But let's talk a little bit about Take Wing and Soul.
Yes.
You said you set it up 10 years ago to
yes.
bring together all these disparate artists of color, as
yes.
you keep calling them.
Indeed, indeed.
Is that an accepted term in America?
It is. Yeah. And I was really interested in making a distinction, especially when it came to writing grants for the funders, because there are a lot of classically trained actors. But there was a disparity between classically trained actors who were white and classically trained actors who were either of Asian, Hispanic, or African descent. And so in order to make my points on paper so that they can be clear, I started using the term classically trained actors of color. Because then you know what I mean when I'm asking for the cash flow for these specific artists. It's not just for any artist, is specifically for these artists. These artists feel displaced. These artists feel disenchanted, disillusioned, disappointed. How do we bring all of these classical artists together and have unity in the arts? How do we do that? And so we began to hire all of the classically trained artists with a special emphasis on the artists of color, and making sure that at the center stage was always in the lead role an artist of color, and so the rest of the cast was multiracial. But it was very important that at the center of the show would be an artist who don't necessarily get those opportunities.
So this is to be able to let actors be able to hone their craft in
right.
classically trained
Absolutely.
Plays.
Because I believe that the more you practice, the better you get. And what you practice, you become good at. And if you don't get an opportunity to practice, you can come in and you can have the servant's roles. And then you come in and you have one that's a little higher. And then you have one that's a little higher. But if it is my goal to actually one day play Queen Elizabeth, if I'm always doing the one or two line roles, my skills won't get sharpened enough for me to actually go there. But if I get opportunities that continue, let me climb up to that highest potential, then perhaps I can do this role and I can do it really well if I have the opportunity. And so that's why we made the opportunities like that.
So your company, Take Wing and Soul, you have a particular emphasis on doing a certain kind of work.
Absolutely. We most of the time present plays that are traditional classics like Shakespeare and Greek tragedy and even Oscar Wilde, and we haven't done Molière yet, but it's coming. Classics like that. But then we also added plays by and about people who lived prior to 1900, so that it gives some contemporary writers an opportunity to write something that we can perform as well. For instance, we did an Oedipus, but it was set in slavery time America, and it was called The Darker Face of the Earth. We did a Medea called Pekong, that was set in the Caribbean. And so although the playwright is contemporary, the story is still very old. I've been partial to things old and foreign. So, like that.
You've mm-hmm. been mentioning the importance of being earnest. It's clearly a play that's run through your own personal history. You did it when you were graduating from
university.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you've just, your own company has just finished a performance of that.
Yes, absolutely. What I thought is the play that catapulted, that caused me to write the mission for the company, because it's our 10-year anniversary, let's do it again. Well, at least let me do it again. Not everyone was there to experience that. But I said, let me see what the experience will be like if I had an opportunity to do this play in a safe space. And for us, Take Wing and Soar is a safe space. So I thought that we would do it the same way that I did it when I was at college. We have to learn manners and style and period and British accents. You have to learn that at college. And then I thought, well, if I do that, what would happen is the critics are going to say, these people are trying to be white. And I said, I don't necessarily want that. I want people to come and see it for what it's worth. So what should I do? Should I, was there a black bourgeoisie in Great Britain? I'm not sure. But then I recall that there was a black bourgeoisie in America. There were these people of the upper class. And I said, so let's do 1920s Harlem with black bourgeoisie, and we'll change the times and the places and music, add the music of the period. People love the music. It's the music that changed the nation. Let's use that. And yet let's, instead of Victoria Station, let's say Grand Central Station. Instead of the row of houses where Algy lived in Britain, let's say Stryver's Row, really important street. Instead of up at the manor house at Wooton, let's use Saratoga, you know, like that. And it was really fabulous. And the audiences really responded. And we referenced real people like Madam C.J. Walker, who was the first black millionaire, who became a philanthropist and someone who just shared her wealth with the rest of the community. And when we used her name in the show, the audiences immediately latched on to the time period, and it was really wonderful to be able to do that, indeed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, sounds fantastic. I hope you get the chance to bring it to the UK at some point.
Indeed, indeed, yes.
But just in terms of, you know, we've been talking about your company, but you haven't said a little bit about how you work. Are you a small theatre company? Are you based in Harlem?
Yes.
How do you raise funding for your project?
Yes, we are considered a small theater company. The theater companies are categorized mainly by the dollar amounts, and so we are a small theater company in the category that is under $100,000 a year. You know, that's the that's the cash flow that runs through the organization. Of course, there's in kind that raises it above that, but that's not counted when they're measuring what size your company is. So we're a small theater company. We're based in Harlem. We've been in Harlem for the last 10 years. Sometimes we go outside of Harlem and go to Midtown and do a couple of our shows there, but mainly in Harlem. We raise funds by writing grants, of course, and asking individuals for, we have an individual donor campaign. So we write letters, we get money from the federal government, that's the National Endowments for the Arts, from the state, New York State Council on the Arts, from the city, Department of Cultural Affairs, and from foundations and from the local people. Indeed, that's how we try to pull it together.
But has it been a difficult road? Have you had some good mentors?
I've had wonderful, extremely wonderful mentors who have really helped me in all ways. One of my mentors was specifically about human development and spiritual growth. Although she ran a theater company for 40 years, her main focus was that. And so while I lived at her theater company, we were in residence at the National Black Theater for 7 years. That was wonderful. But then I have other mentors. I'm talking about Dr. Barbara Ann Teer. She was a wonderful mentor who really took great care of me and helped me to be able to form Take Wing and Soar Productions, in that she let our company be housed inside of her theater. And it was wonderful for many, many years. I was with her for 8 years, and then she passed on. Then we moved on to another theater space. Veronica Claypool is another mentor, and Dorothy Olam and John Philip Parkman. That group of people have over the years really helped to lift me up and really help set it up so that I would get into all these wonderful strategic positions, so that now I'm able to go and be all over the place. And now I'm a league of the League of Professional Theater Women, and the Broadway League, and the Harlem Arts Alliance, and the Alliance of Resident Theaters New York, and the Shakespeare Theater Association, and it's just...
You just moved into a different sort of category in terms of being meeting peers and yes, theater.
Absolutely, and meeting all kinds of people to help us to continue this journey. It's been really wonderful.
So, in terms of performance, mm-hmm. you know, what do you do? Where do you find your theaters to perform in? Are you like off Broadway, on Broadway? Is it fringe? How do you classify that?
It's classified for us as off Broadway,
right.
And since mostly we perform, and the classifications mm-hmm. come with the contracts that you use with Actors Equity. So if your contract is a showcase, it's usually off Broadway. But then there is an off Broadway contract, and then of course the Broadway contract, and then there's a few little contracts in between. But in New York mainly it's showcase, off Broadway, and there's some Lort contracts, and then there's the Broadway contracts, and we're at the showcase level where it's off Broadway indeed.
But you're lucky enough to have a relationship with the theater in Harlem?
Yes, we're at the Poets' Den Theater now. We were at the National Black Theater, but now it's the Poets' Den, and it's a 100-seat house. It looks like a little mini opera house. It's beautiful with the velvet red curtains and the gold fringes and the beautiful seating. And it's it has a lovely lobby with marble statues, and it's really, really amazing. And most people don't imagine that it's sitting right there in East Harlem, but it's really gorgeous, and everyone loves it as soon as they get there.
And what are the ticket prices like for a fringe venue, like normally in the?
Well, for showcase code, either it's $18 or up to $25, but not more than that when you use that specific contract.
I see. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's tied into that kind of contract.
Yes,
as well.
Equity
right.
will not allow you to charge more than that amount because of what you pay the actors. If you pay the actors another rate, then you could charge a different rate. But since you have to pay the actors this rate, all you can charge is up to that rate, because if you charge more, then you can pay the actors more.
And how are your shows received by the local audiences? How was the importance of being Ernest?
Oh, Ernest seems like to be... I had to leave immediately after. I got on the airplane to come to Great Britain the same night we closed the show. So I didn't get to hear a lot of what was going on, but I did get a lot of emails and Facebook messages. It seems that Ernest was really well received, and people are clamoring for it to come back. And so I have to figure out with myself and my partner Vosa Rivers, we have to figure out how we're going to bring it back when we have this huge Harlem Shakespeare Festival to produce. How are we going to stick Ernest back in there somewhere? But the people are really wanting to have it back.
But who's your audience locally? Is it like a mixed audience? Do you have a culturally diverse audience?
It is. It is culturally diverse. It is mainly people of African descent, African Americans specifically. And we have a percentage of Asian audience, a percentage of white audience, and a small percentage of Hispanic audiences. But for the most part, it is very multicultural, because it reflects what you see on the stage. And the stage is always mixed race, indeed, except Ernest. Ernest was an all-black cast. We were setting it in 1920s Harlem, and I wanted to make it as authentic as possible. Indeed, and so it worked out really nicely. And the audience was still very diverse, because we had built that all these years coming up to this time.
So you have a following in Harlem. Do
absolutely.
You, as a company, and
yes.
your work is well known.
Indeed, we have a following in Harlem, but the tri-state area as well, the five boroughs of New York and the tri-state area. People come from as far as Boston and Connecticut and Pennsylvania and New Jersey. They come from a little bit of everywhere to come see our shows. A school group came up from Virginia because they wanted to see our Madea. They had been studying, you know, the Greeks, and they came all the way from Virginia just to see our shows. And so people are coming from everywhere because this kind of thing is not really done in even in America. And there are maybe three companies in all of America that are run by people of color doing the classics. And we're one of them. And we've been around 10 years now, and people are really starting to pay attention, and they want to see this kind of art, and so we are working to continue to provide it for them.
What about, have you ever collaborated with the artists from the UK mm-hmm. in terms of some of your work to do, or cultural exchanges between people wanting to act or perform or anything like that?
Yes, we did a cultural exchange with some youth from Hackney, and a program through the Hackney Empire, the Artist Development Program. And when I came in 2005, I met Susie McKenna from the Hackney, and we put together a program where we were looking at doing a cultural exchange with the youth. So the kids from Hackney would work on a skit, and the kids from Harlem would work on a skit, and then they'd come together, and the Harlem kids would come to Hackney and work on it, and we'd perform in Hackney, and then we'd go back to Harlem and perform. But it didn't quite work out like that because I couldn't pull the kids together in Harlem yet. I wasn't ready for the children yet. But at any rate, Hackney pulled together their kids, and we decided that we would do a Midsummer Night's Dream as the basis, and the kids from Hackney put together a, they wrote songs and they choreographed dances, and using A Midsummer Night's Dream created a show, and it was titled A Midsummer Night's Madness. So the kids came out to Harlem in 2009, and they performed at our Harlem Week stage, which is outdoors to, I don't know, 20, 30,000 people out there back and forth at the festival. And then I was in residence still at the National Black Theater, and they performed at the theater, and the League of Professional Theater Women showed up, and we had a great big audience, and the kids performed, and it was beautiful. It was very well received, and Susie and I got honors for it, for creating that international exchange. And now we're looking to, now that we have a group of children that we work with now in Harlem, we're working with them now to be able to bring them back over to the UK. And I'm looking at a 2016 project to bring the kids this way and see what that's like, and to have them perform here in London so that the exchange is complete. But it was really wonderful. And I've met some people at the British Black and Asian Symposium we had the other day. And we're also talking about putting together some kind of exchange, even for 2014 or even 15. And we're looking forward to that very much so. Absolutely. And the Arts Council is interested in bringing us over to the UK. So we have to see what that looks like.
So maybe they want you to do The Importance of Being Earnest.
I hope so, because it's a really good one. And Britain would appreciate Earnest. But Earnest set in 1920s Harlem is a new thing. And I think that it would be well received here as well. Indeed. So we're fingers crossed.
Definitely. Uh-huh. Fingers crossed. But in the meantime, mm-hmm. Theatre Voice will like to wish you all the best for the Harlem Shakespeare Festival,
yes.
which gets going quite soon in August, is
absolutely.
That right?
Absolutely.
And it continues until December.
Yes, it's a big baby. It's running all those months, and I think that it'll be great being spread out because the information will be out for longer, as well as it'll give us time to work on each little individual project instead of trying to put them on top of each other and go crazy with how many things we have at the same time. So I'm looking forward to a wonderful inaugural event, and hoping to keep on and carry on with it, you know, in the years to come.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll keep you posted, of course.
Yes. Well, thank you for talking to Theatre Voice. And we're sitting out here. It's a lovely summer's day.
Absolutely.
A little interruption with the plane, but mm-hmm. hopefully it was okay. Thank
yes.
you very much.
Thank you.
You.